And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. If you're listening to my show, you're looking for tips on how to work smarter, not harder. And let's be real, you're already working hard to earn your money, but how do you make sure that your money is working hard for you? Here's how. With a Betterment automated investment and savings app, your money will go to work. They've got technology that will provide you with advanced tools, and they're built to help maximize your returns, not to mention your time. They have expert-built portfolios of low-cost exchange-traded funds. You know I love those exchange-traded funds. There's automated investing technology, and as part of that, automated rebalancing. Many of you have been asking about rebalancing, and it sort of feels like a hard thing to do on your own. With Betterment, easy peasy. They do it for you. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. And when I say in-depth, I'm talking deep. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. They also have details about local schools with test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know, all in one place. Homes.com, we've done your homework. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Monday, April 22nd, and we are here talking to you folks about whatever's going on in your lives. And the reason why I say that is that it is a money show, but it is more about what you hope to accomplish in your real life. And we, as certified financial planners, me and Mark Tallercio, best executive producer in the world, we are just trying to make sure that we keep you on track with what your goals are without blowing up your finances. But that's a very long title. So instead, we just called it Jill on Money. Get it? Jill, me, on money. And if you would like to ask us about something going on in your lives and how it does impact your money, all you need to do is go to the website, jillonmoney.com, click the Contact Us button, write us a note, and let us know if you'd be willing to come on the air. Now, while you are on the website, don't forget there's all sorts of great stuff there. There's the free weekly newsletter. Comes out every Friday. And we also have a blog and we have a video section. And you can also subscribe to Jill on Money Live. That's where you have access to quarterly live webinars, four of them, and a lot of cool bonus video content. Oh, Mark, did you see who sent us a note? More on that later, because I feel like I'm going to put him behind the paywall. He's a very good guest. More on that when we actually book this guest. I'm excited. A fan from far reaches. Today, we have a fan, and her name is Denise, and she is on the line from New Hampshire. Hello, Denise. How are you?
Hello, Jill and Mark. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Of course. How can we help you out today?
Well, I had my own major great money reset.
Tell me more.
I wish my life didn't reflect your book quite so much, but I had a very sudden gray divorce. I was 63 at the time. I'm now almost 64. And it came a bit out of the blue. So we were on track for retirement and then life completely changed. And, assets cut in half, Social Security picture is different down the road, and the future is just a little unknown. So I'm calling in because I need help just kind of working through some of the big decisions that I will need to make and trying to plan for a future that is still taking shape.
All right. Wow. So I'm glad I didn't talk to you a year ago because it probably would have been like a weepy, freaky, crazy conversation. So just how are you doing now, like a year later?
The first year I would say was survival. Mm-hmm. And now I'm getting excited about a future that has yet to take shape, but is starting to a little bit. So I'm doing well. Thank you.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. That's a lot. That is a lot.
It is a lot.
Do you guys have kids in common there?
Yes.
How old are they?
Two adults. They're both launched. One is 34 and one is 30.
Okay. And they don't need your help?
They do not. Although within this period of divorce, one's about to get married in June and one got married last September. So
you guys didn't derail their plans. They didn't get spooked by, this is maybe not be all that it's cracked up to be. They did it or they're doing it. So that's good.
You would probably have to ask them that question.
Yeah, I'll get them on next. Okay. So Denise, are you working right now or not?
I am. I'm self-employed. I had stepped back from my work because I had done the same thing for my entire adult career. Mm-hmm. Although I did raise children and I stepped back a little bit for that. And had retired and was exploring different career avenues and what I wanted to do and frantically restarted my business. So I am employed.
Yep. How much do you earn in that restarting of the business?
About $50,000 a year.
Okay. And when you look at the $50,000 that you're earning right now, are you telling me that that's a net or a gross 50? Like to you, net 50 grand?
That's net.
Okay.
Yep.
And is that enough to support you right now or not?
Yeah, I do receive alimony.
Mm-hmm. How much is that?
And that is $36,000 a year. My ex-husband's income goes up and down, and so it's a minimum of $3,000 a month. And there's a formula in New Hampshire for the what it should be. But anyway,
for how long will you receive that alimony for?
Until his full retirement age, which is 67. So that will be I have another 4 years.
Okay, so 4 more years. Got it. And does he have a pension that you would also get? Did you get some sort of payout in general, or did you have some other obligations that he has to you going forward beyond the alimony?
I do not have, he does not have future obligations. We split all the assets, all the retirement funds. The house is co-owned and I'm living in the family home, which does not have a mortgage.
What do you pay for in that family home? So you own it jointly. So how much is the house worth?
I would guess around $700,000 right now.
And is the game plan you stay there for as long as you like and just pay for the taxes, et cetera, or is there some split of that, the ongoing expenses?
The divorce decree actually calls for, I can live here for 5 years and then I either have to buy him out or we sell the house and split the proceeds.
Okay. And is that what you think you'll probably do? Sell it in 4 years, within 4 years?
Yes, I love it. It was built in 1770 and it has a lot of land and it's a lot of work for just me while working full time. If I wasn't working, I could probably swing it, but
yeah, all right. Okay. So what is the amount of retirement assets that you have now? Mark, I love that. I keep that paper shuffle in. I love that.
1.6 million in pre-tax and 86,000 in Roth.
Okay.
And then I have 58,000 in an HSA.
What about a brokerage account? Anything in just like a taxable mm-hmm. brokerage account?
Mm-hmm. 615,000.
Okay, great. And bank savings, CDs, bonds, anything like that?
Yeah. I've been very cautious since it's, I have 150,000 in mm-hmm. just CDs, money market funds, I-bond.
Great. Great. Listen, you know what? When you go through something like this and a gray divorce, a sudden death, a long-term illness, but anything where you know you're in transition, I'm game for you to have a little extra cash on hand. Absolutely. No, like, I think that that's very smart. Even if you didn't necessarily have intention in that, I think if anyone's listening, one of the things I think is incredibly, incredibly seductive is to take a bunch of money and do something, to act when you have gone through something really sudden and difficult. And I would try to use restraint and not make too many decisions. So I think you're in, like, from what you're telling us, it sounds like you're in a very strong financial situation, which is why I understand how you've moved out of survival into excitement. So here's a couple of questions just in general. So do we have all the assets, any rental property or second homes or anything like that?
No, that pretty much covers it.
Great. So let's just say that for the next 4 years, would you like to stay self-employed or do you kind of want to cycle out of that again?
I do want to cycle out of it. And I have taken a job, just a little job at a library to put me in contact with other people because I work remotely.
Oh, that's
and
so great.
Living alone and working remotely is a bit much.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm finding is that interesting things for people my age always seems to happen on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock in the morning. Working has limited me in how I can explore a new life and meet new people. So I would like to retire or at least work very part-time within the next couple years.
Okay. So when is your full retirement age for Social Security? 67?
67.
Okay. Yep.
And I will be 64 in July.
Okay. So. If you look ahead at that retirement, is your benefit more than half of your ex-husband's?
It is.
Okay. Yep. So what would your benefit be at 67?
At 67, it'd be $2,468.
$2,468. And what about at age 70?
$3,140.
I like that one. So I'm just looking ahead. And not being super duper frugal, just being like living your life that you think you'd like to live, just like Denise living her best life. Let's go Oprah on you. What do you think you really would like to have in income total?
See, this is where the housing trips me up.
Okay.
Not knowing where I'm going to be living.
Okay.
Because
yes.
I am innately a frugal person with the exception of travel and where I live.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah. So if I knew the answer to that question, I think I would have a better sense of how I should move forward.
Okay. Well, in the house right now, you have a $700,000 house. If we were to burn up some of your cash and buy your husband out, okay, and you handed him $350,000, just pretend we do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just going to literally, like, knock down your brokerage account for a second,
mm-hmm.
right? So I say 615 is what you say you have. I'm now going to just say, you know, less $350,000,
mm-hmm.
okay? And now, if you own the house outright and you know what the expenses are for that house, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now adding in travel, just the travel, like what do you, so what are the monthly expenses? And then we'll pop some travel on top of it. Is it 5,000 a month, 6,000 a month? What do you think?
It's about 6,000 a month.
See, I'm a good guesser.
Yeah,
so, and then, good. And that also includes travel or not? That's your basic. Six is your basic.
It does include travel.
It does?
Yeah, it does.
You're not doing such a big, you're not so fancy. You're doing good. This is good.
Well, the travel is where I spend the money and the daily living, not so much.
Okay. But do you think you would actually like to stay in the house? In other words, okay, there's two, I am of two minds of this. All right. I think you can afford to do it and I don't want you to worry about it at all. But that said, is it weird to be in like, oh, I'm in my marital house? Some people are like, that's weird. I want to start over, clean slate. But if you love the house, you might say, oh, I really like the house even more now that he's gone.
I do love the house. It is a phenomenal amount of work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of land with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really see, you know, being 70 years old and living here by myself, which makes me think I would be crazy to buy him out because, you know, that's only 3 years later.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So now let's get back to the matter at hand. Let's say that you buy him out. Is there like, what is the next option? You're not going to buy such a big place, but you know, where would you think, what do you think it would cost you to buy something? It's not going to be, I presume it's not going to be, you're going to buy another smaller house on a smaller piece of land for $350,000. Do you have any idea what it would cost you to buy your next place?
I do not, because I don't know where I'm going to live for my next place. My two children live on opposite coasts.
Ooh.
One in New York.
Mm-hmm. We'd love to have you.
And one in the Pacific Northwest. And then my parents are still alive. They're down in the New Jersey area. And so there's just a lot of.
So maybe.
I'm not going to live in an inexpensive place.
Right. Or put it this way. Maybe I would put it a different way, which is for $350,000, you could easily say, you know, for a year, 2 years till I figure out what I want, I could rent a place in New Hampshire to be near my friends, which whatever it's going to cost. I don't know what that price would be. But how about if we were to presume that the $350 gets spent on either extended travel, because you're going to the Pacific Northwest, New York, and New Jersey, and you have a place in New Hampshire. What do you think it would cost to like rent just a little place to hang your hat in New Hampshire? Do you have any idea?
I do. The towns I'm interested in would be about $4,000 a month.
Okay. All right. That's not a big deal. It's okay. You know, $350,000 of equity goes a long way, you know? So,
well, my concern, I love the idea of renting. I actually love the idea of renting for 2 years for short-term rentals in a variety of locations and figure out where I'm going to go. My concern was that eating up the money I would have then to buy a house outright when I finally figured out where I wanted to land.
Yeah. But for a year or two, it wouldn't be so bad.
Okay.
It really wouldn't be. I mean, if it's 2 years, we're talking about of the 350, you blow up and you say, okay, now I'm going to say of the $350,000 of equity you have, pretend it's only 250. We're going to spend $100,000 doing something. You know, for 2 years, renting, traveling, doing whatever. So your equity from the house, and maybe it's even just like, maybe it's only 200,000 of equity in the house that you have, and you'll figure out what you want to do next. But remember, I haven't liquidated the brokerage account yet. Right. So at that, what I think is important here is not so much, are you going to buy something? Whether or not you do or you don't, it's fine, but it doesn't have to happen immediately, but you can't be spending like $900,000 on your next house. That's what I know. So I would say that I would feel more comfortable if in looking at your overall asset level, we think that what we need to do is like at your age 67, because let's say you do this for a few more years, like you are basically working in your, you know, in your self-employed business, you have, and maybe you make your 50, but maybe it's 40. It's okay. You have your alimony that's coming in for 4 more years, and you use this money to support yourself and you let everything else build up. Then what I think you're going to have to do is say, by the time you get to the age that you really want to call it quits for working full time, 67, 66, whatever it is, then we're going to have you pull some money out of that pre-tax retirement account and live on that. And you'll pay the tax that's due, and you will wait to claim Social Security at your age 70. That's what I think. Are you in good health?
I am.
So I think what sort of like big picture, you work for a couple more years. It doesn't have to be three exactly. Just work for a couple more years. Okay. Live your life. Take the alimony, live on the alimony. Use the money that's in your accounts to kind of help you along the way. But the reality is we want to start pulling money out of that retirement account in like soonish, because that's a lot of money that you're going to have to start taking out when you turn 75.
Right. Which leads me to my other question, which was Roth conversions.
No, you can't do Roth conversion until we know what your housing situation is. That's the problem. I don't want to use up the liquidity you have, because in my mind, when you sell this house, they're going to spend a little bit of time potchkeying around finding yourself. You can pull money out of your retirement account and pay the tax due on that and start reducing that amount. But we have to be prepared for you to be able to actually pay for a home. And that might include using some of your brokerage account.
Okay. So in other words, not paying for the taxes out of my brokerage account.
Correct.
For a conversion, I'd be right. Better off pulling it out and living it. That was my sense as well.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that you validated that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's important for you to preserve your options. And that's, you know, of course, like it would be great to say, all things being equal, if you were on your previous path, you would say, oh, we will start converting our money from pre-tax to Roth. We'll use this up. And like you were all on a different path. But now, just because of because you want to have the option to do what you want to do, then I think we leave that brokerage account alone. I think what I would really be clear about is be open with your housing situation. Maybe being in a long-term rental situation makes you feel really happy, unless you stumble upon a place that you really would like to buy. But I wouldn't really work so hard to buy, especially at a time where, you know, the real estate market is kind of out of whack. It's going to take a few years for things to settle in a little bit. And I think that until you have the ability to see the landscape and also understand what you really want, then let's preserve as many options as we possibly can.
Here is my follow-up question. So it's how to invest when I feel so uncertain about the future.
The retirement account, you should not feel uncertain about that. That's just, you know, have a nice diversified portfolio. How is it invested now?
It's closer to 80-20 than it should be. It's supposed to be about 70-30.
All right. So make the changes. Let's move on with that. Let's do 70-30. Make those changes. How's the brokerage account invested?
The brokerage account is roughly the same.
All right. Well, you need to pull back some of the risk on this.
Okay.
Really do. Because especially on the brokerage account, we might need that money. Like, you know, we might need that money to do something. Again, if you sell the house, here's how I could see you needing the money. You sell the house and you're like, okay, I got my $350. We're good. Right. And then you say to me, you turn around and you say, you know, I actually found something great. I just want to buy it. And I want to take $200,000 out of my brokerage account to do it. And I want to buy it. Okay. But like, so I need you to be able to have a brokerage account that's not going to be so as volatile. I think the brokerage account personally should be, I mean, it can be 60-40, 70-30, because you have all this money in bank CDs and money markets and I-bonds. But, you know, I do think that it should be less risky than the retirement account.
Should I be putting more in treasuries?
I'll tell you what, just given the fact that I'm talking to you and the bond market has fallen again, I feel very comfortable if you said, I want to put $50,000 in a 10-year treasury, I would be fine with that.
A 10-year? Really?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I would just anchor that brokerage account, sure. And if you said, and it doesn't mean you have to wait till the 10-year matures. It just means that you're socking away money and getting a guaranteed return. If you wanted to say, on the CDs, how long dated are they?
A year.
Let's do something smart here. Why don't we take some of the money that is in 1-year CDs? And if you have $150,000, I would start doing like a 2-year, because I don't think you're going to need this money within 2 years. Do you think you're really going to sell the house within 2 years or 1 year? What's the realistic option here?
Realistic would be longer than one, but maybe not the full length of time that I have.
All right,
so within the next 2 years, I would say.
So let's do some, let's like, all right. So in the reason why I said a 10-year treasury is because it's just gotten killed. And I think that actually you could probably pretty, if you had a portion of your account that you want to like make a little bit more secure and less volatile, and you had $50,000 that was in stocks, I would take, and I don't know if you have gains or losses in this account, but presuming you'll pay some capital gains is fine. I would take a portion of my brokerage account and I would try to have it in fixed income. If it's really like 80-20 in that brokerage account, then I would like that to be closer to 70-30. And of the 30 or 60-40 of that, I would be happy to buy a 10-year treasury or a, you know, a 10-year treasury ETF, something that's going to not act like a stock. Okay. That's what I really wanted to do. In the bank account money, I would then renew anything and do it for another year, or if something comes due, an 18-month horizon where, you know, you could grab the money fast if you needed to, but that you would then have the opportunity to renew it, maybe at a lower level. But if you're going to sell the house, that's going to help you manage a lot of the risk of the overall portfolio, because you'll have this extra money, which you're not going to be able to invest in a very aggressive way anytime soon, because we're not going to know what the outcome is going to be on the housing front, right?
Right.
So we'll have to make a different decision then. I think that we'll really have to decide what happens in a year when you're sort of got your game plan of what happens next.
Okay. So just keep on kind of piling into safe things, which is what I've been doing over the past year.
Yeah. But I mean, look, 80-20 is pretty aggressive for an almost 64-year-old who might need some of her money.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
It may be closer to 70-30, but I get your point.
Okay. All right. But I think you're in very good shape. I don't really even think, like, I think if you get really fried from working, that you say, all right, I needed to go back, you know, I needed to restart the business for my own mental and financial security, right? And for like getting engaged again. But if it's starting to feel like, ugh, this is not really what I want, don't feel like you have to do it. You have plenty of money. You're going to be fine. You don't spend a lot of money.
I mean, I could retire tomorrow if I decided to.
You think? And there's not a problem here. There's no problem. You can do this.
But, oh, man, that's a relief.
Okay. Yeah, but you're not going to, because I can already tell you're not going to. I can easily proffer that advice or that option, because I know you're not going to do it. But give yourself the opportunity to at least consider it.
Yeah, no, I would love to have more flexibility in my life than I do right now.
If something else comes up, if something has happened, like, honestly, if you're like, oh my God, I was at my son's place in the Pacific Northwest. I found this gorgeous condo for $500,000. I want to do it. Give us a call. Let us know. We are happy, happy, happy to help you out. Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. If you, like Denise, have something sudden happen, oof, that is a lot. A gray divorce, crazy. If something like that's going on, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hold your hand and walk you through what we think are the different choices you have in front of you. Go to JillOnMoney.com, click the Contact Us button, let us know if you'd be willing to come on the air live. Don't forget, everything that we do lives on that website, JillOnMoney.com, and check out our YouTube show. It's called Jill on Money, powered by The Compound. You too can become a jillionaire. You can subscribe to this program on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen, and put your hands on someone's back. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
Do you ever see a new face or name on your news feeds and say, who the heck is that?
Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't. The New Yorker says we spelunk deep into the demimonde with convivial delight. That's a direct quote.
Mostly, we're going to explain to you Irish star Barry Keoghan's sudden rise to fame and relationship with a not-so-under-the-radar pop princess named Sabrina.
The fake wedding Real Housewives star Cynthia Bailey had to promote a limo rental company.
and why all the Gen Zers you know are talking about a guy named Benson Boone.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest celebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we answer the most burning celebrity queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.